We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, here we are. Another episode of the Believe You Me podcast, the best podcast on the planet. Let's be honest, Luis J. Gomez. Luis J. Gomez on two Luis J. Gomez's. Okay, I take it back. It was the best podcast on the planet. We're going downhill already. Luis, what is going on?
Yeah, it says you guys want to come to my jerk party, which is an old Legion of Skanks joke. Welcome to the show. How are you guys doing? Welcome. Yeah, you know what I will say? I would say without a question, we are the best comedic MMA podcast out there. You know, I have nothing but love for all of our competitors. Okay. But we have the best dynamic. We have the best impressions. That impression compilation that was put out the other day of Bisping doing the voices from around the world is absolutely incredible.
Well, Luis, you're a better man than me because I have nothing but hatred for all the other competition. Fucking Big John.
Who's your least favorite?
When I see them, it's on site. Simple as that. Oh, Big John ain't that big. He's pretty big. He's pretty big and he knows what he's doing. He wrote the rules of mixed martial arts, but he's old. Okay. What movie is this from? You won't know. You're a big man, but you're out of shape. No, hold on. Let's do it again. You're a big man, but you're out of shape. And for me, it's a full-time job.
I have no idea.
Me neither. I forget the name of the movie. It's a Michael Caine movie. I think it's, but who cares? Doesn't matter. I don't know the name of it. If you know it, let us know. Luis, how was your weekend?
My weekend's been pretty good so far. You know, hanging out with the kid back from Miami. Had a great time in Miami last week. So now I'm just, back into the swing of things. But I miss it, dude. I'm going to be down. Nice Miami weather. I'll tell you right now, I didn't think I would like Miami as much as I did, but the more I go down there, the more I enjoy it.
Yeah, well, as we said last episode, never been. So maybe one day I'll go. But we had this conversation last week. I'm assuming you caught the tremendous action from UFC 262 at the weekend.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible. I want to talk about that.
I'm like, listen, there's a lot to talk about. Tell me you watched the fights, Luis. Okay, so we're off to a good start.
Can I say this? There is times when I don't watch the fights. It's rare. It's rare that I at least don't catch up on the main event co-main if I'm on the road, whatever it is. But you will always know. I will always text you beforehand and be like, Bisping, just so you know.
No, I know. It was a joke. I wasn't asking you to bear all. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, of course, UFC 262, we have a new lightweight champion. We have potentially Tony Ferguson. Well, it's not potentially. His best days are behind him now. Sadly, everybody loves Tony Ferguson. We're going to get into all of that in a little bit. And of course, we have Darren Till. Darren Hollywood Till, as he's known in certain circles, has decided to grace us. Wow. In fact, I messaged him again. I'll read out the messages. I said, Darren, because he was supposed to come on today. He confirmed last week he was coming on, and then nothing. So I sent Darren, ? That's his trademark. And he just came back and said, oh, I'm sorry. Your fucking messages get lost a lot in my messages. I get more messages than you lads, and I'm not even the champion yet. Could you imagine how fucking many messages I get then? Of which I came back and said, yeah. And imagine when you win a fight. Imagine how many messages you'll get then.
Imagine when he shows up for a fight. Forget it. I mean, at this point, he can't even make it to the octagon.
Jeez Louise. Come on, we're trying to have guests on, not scare them off. So yeah, Darren's going to join us in about 15 minutes. Always fun talking to him. So thank you for taking the time, Darren. But Luis, what have you been up to? What should we get into? What's going on in your world? Anything?
Nothing crazy. I mean, I've been just... Just enjoying the suburban life, baby boy.
Yeah, still, yeah, yeah.
Still trying to figure out what's going on with this grill. Still trying to figure out what's going on with the backyard fence. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put it off all summer until it's October. I'm going to be like, well, that was another year down.
I was out in my back garden today, looking around at it. It started to get a little tatty. When we moved into the house, we focused on the inside. You know, we had a lot of things done. I had it completely redone top to bottom. And we had the back garden done as well in 2016, but it's looking a little... See, we got rid of the grass. We got rid of the grass, and we got all fake grass, right? Which looks great. But in California, it hardly ever rains. Alfie, as we know, has a condition. He's shitting a lot of little bits, right? And he's pissing a lot. The steroids, he pisses like crazy. Point is, there's no rain. We have sprinklers. The artificial grass is maybe starting to smell a little in the sun is where I'm going. So okay. We got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of it because whilst the garden looks nice, when you walk out, it stinks of urine. It kind of puts you off a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to be there in just a few short weeks. Myself, Harrington, Brian. It is a BYM takeover in Orange County. Get ready, baby boy.
Are
I'm expecting
coming?
A lot. They're coming. Yes, Brian and Harrington are both coming.
Good.
We expect sandwiches.
But you will get sandwiches. You will get accoutrement. You will get, listen, taken care of. You will have hors d'oeuvres. We'll have fine dining. We'll have high tea at 4 with crumpets, okay?
Because Brian and Harrington have never been to the Bisping Half Mansion.
Never mind that. You prepare yourself for an amazing feast for your senses. But more importantly, I have access to many octagons. We're going to have Harrington and Brian in a cage.
For sure.
Right? Oh, for sure we are. And we're going to film the whole fucking thing for bonus content. We're going to have me and you in a cage, right? Sparring, nice and light.
Go fuck yourself. What happened to your son?
My son will kick my ass right now. I'm letting you off the hook lightly. You're going to build, baby. You're going to build to it. So, yeah, we're going to have lots of bonus content. That's fucking awesome. So you guys are coming over. You've got a show in Vegas. I'm commentating in Vegas. I guess if they're going to be there, we should stay an extra night and maybe just see what goes on in Vegas.
We'll see what happens in Vegas. Doesn't stay in Vegas because we're honest gentlemen and we'll talk about it on the podcast. Obviously, every detail will be divulged on the following podcast. Don't you worry about that.
And I will have to say, Brian just edited that bit out many, many times. Harrington, show yourself. Listen, I'm just going to pull the curtain back. Harrington, we had a little plan at the start of the show.
We've been waiting for Harrington to jump in the whole time.
We had a little plan at the start of the show because at the weekend was Miss Universe. The Miss Universe tournament was a little, you know, obviously I'm a very highbrow PC type of guy and I don't like to objectify women. So for my mind, it's a little antiquated would be the word, even though Miss Mexico, by all accounts, very smart lady. But listen, we didn't want to bring it up. So we said, how about Harrington? When I say to Lewis, so what's on your mind, Lewis? What are we talking about? Harrington, you jump in and say, oh, how about this for a suggestion? Miss Universe at the weekend. And then we were going to make fun of you for being such a male chauvinistic pig.
Yeah.
And you had
We were going to tap dance around the subject and be like, oh, they look nice. Give the fans at home a little bit of eye candy. And it was all set up. And twice Bisping went to me. He said, what did you do at the weekend? Two separate times, which was the signal.
That was your cue. That was your cue for Harrington. You're sitting there with a weird look on your face, right? You're yet to say anything, okay? Harrington, what say you now?
I'm sorry that you guys have such good natural banter that even when you're just killing time, it feels like I'd be interrupting something special.
Has flown out of the house. The owl has flown out of the house.
Why did you not do as, okay, I was going to say requested, but no, I'm going to go a little further. Right, you work for this show as demanded. We ordered you to make that move, and you left us sitting. What is that? Is that strike one, Lewis? Official strike one, Brian?
Strike one. Jesus Christ, that's strike 3,000.
No, but we've got to start a system, and we haven't implemented the system before today. Okay, listen, we're going to give you 5 because right, obviously, normally it would be 3. Right, but 3, it'll be by the end of today's show. It'll be on 3. Do you know what I mean? We're going to give you 5 strikes.
Wait, these don't reset every show?
We're deducting...
At 5 strikes, you get 5 actual strikes from me when you come and visit my house.
We're deducting 2,500 BIMcoin from you right now. That is what it's going to hit him where it hurts. He likes this. The only time he wins anything is when we fucking gamble BIMcoin. So we're going to hit him where it hurts for that mistake. 2,500 BIMcoin deducted off the top today, whatever you have at the end. Cause I have no idea. Hopefully you did all the math, Harrington.
Just about to say, do you have the math? Do you have the results? I mean, obviously at the weekend we had UFC 262. We all made predictions. We all put money down. We put the prestigious Bimcoin on the line. Have you come back? Have you tallied the results? Have you calculated who's the winner? Have you gone through it? Have you perused the list? Have you done the totting up, as it were?
We have never once, ever gone back to a bit we did on a previous show. I always do the numbers, and you guys never go back to them. I didn't do them this time.
Harrington, you know, we were just expecting you to come in and surprise us. I didn't
expect initiative is the word you're looking for. Show a little.
You're right, Harrington. We didn't expect us to come back to the bit, but it would have been nice. Imagine Harrington would have come back and just had it all done. Like, dude, you know what? I got everyone's Bimcoin figured out. I spent 20 minutes. That's all it takes, by the way.
How about this? Maybe you could queue up the original story you were supposed to 15 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Miss Universe was last night. So Miss Mexico won. My question for you guys, Valerie Laredo, the BYM.
Was not part of the prep. Hold on. Valerie, no. You're going rogue. No going freestyle. Strike one, motherfucker.
Right? Strike two. 2,500 Bimcoin. $5,000.
There was no talk of Valerie Laredo. Yes, she was voted as the hottest female participant mixed martial artist of the year 2020, but she was not in the Miss Universe short running. She was not in the pre-fight planning bullshit conversation talk. Lewis.
Devil's advocate?
Avocado.
Valerie Laredo has been looking even better than when we voted her hot as MMA fighter.
She can certainly shake a good ass. That is a fact, okay? Now, without further ado, I haven't seen it. I am genuinely interested. I want to see the appearances of what would be considered a Miss Universe. I apologize to the audio listeners only. But we're going to take, you know, we're going to play Donald Trump. I used to hear Donald Trump on Howard Stern, and he would rank women from 1 to 10. Very, very sexist. But it seems that it's okay to do it in this day and age because it's on fucking international TV. So who are we to judge? Let's go. This is Mexico, is it?
Let's see. I got to make it larger. I got to make it full screen.
This is going to be Miss Albania.
Oh,
dude, Albanian chicks are, by the way,
smoking hot,
but their brothers and fathers are batshit crazy. They will kill you for even looking at me. And Brian have had the same exact experience in our life with that Albanian.
But also, if you're from Manchester, the Albanians are going to sell you a lot of drugs. If you're looking to get high when you come here, Lewis, maybe a cousin of hers would be the person that you need to know. What did she rank in the competition, Miss Albania?
This is the top 10, I believe.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We said five. We clearly said five, Harrington, but still
it's
10.
My fault. Sorry.
It's going to take a long time. Darren Till is going to be joining us.
I got to be honest with you. At least we got to see Miss Albania.
I mean,
Argentina.
I don't like her. She's kind of a goofy broad.
What do you mean you don't like her? Are you out of your mind? Who's this?
Miss Armenia.
Armenia has a weird face.
Yeah, I'm not feeling Armenia. Nothing to do with what's going on there, but this is just not my cup of tea right there. Well, who's this? Miss
Aruba. Wait, what's going on in Armenia?
Aruba. I don't know. This is some kind of, there was, it was in the news recently. Hold on. Who's this? Australia. I'm telling you, she's Puerto Rican. She hasn't got shit on Rebecca Bisping. That's a fact.
Oh my God.
Let's go back. I would rather take Rebecca than, hold on. I don't know, actually. Now I adjust my contact lenses.
Miss Bahamas. Okay.
Okay. Right on.
What about now?
Miss Barbados. Technically, they say you can't do this. Aruba, Barbados, Jamaica, man, right about now. They're all the same place. Belgium.
The only one I've been impressed with so far has been Miss Albania.
Yeah. And I don't know about that.
Was pretty hot.
Miss Belize, that's again down there. Same place. It's all being dominated by the islands, man. Who's this? Miss Bolivia. Generally, the Eastern Europeans, you know, they come in hot with this. This is definitely an area where the Eastern Europeans tend to excel.
There we go. Hold on. We found her. We found her.
Miss Brazil, but, you know, we should have a 360. You know what I mean? And then
I wish I could give it to you, Mike. I really wish I could.
Yeah. British Virginia, big thighs,
Virgin Islands,
thick.
I believe.
Oh, okay. Virgin Islands. Bad eyes, guys. Bad eyes. Who's this? Bulgaria again. I don't know. Not my cup of tea, that one. I'm not feeling it. Legs are a little skinny. Face is a little skewed.
This might actually be a list of all the contestants. I'm very sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's a lot of countries here.
Let's see the winner.
Just give us Miss Mexico.
And then let's see Miss USA and let's see Miss Great Britain. And then we'll see who's better, Miss Britain or Miss USA.
Great talk. Woo! Yeah, let's do that. Bring up
because you have to admit now. Look, because look, American women are, and I mean, head and shoulders. Oh, shut up.
You are out of your mind.
Shoulders hotter than British chicks.
Listen.
Shut the.
Listen. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this.
A real conversation.
No, we are having a real conversation. I'm gonna tell you something now, because like last night I got in bed and I think it was the Great British Bake Off. Rebecca watches that; she loves it. And we're on there. Sorry, we're not on there. We're laid in bed and we're watching it. And the people that were on there, they weren't the best specimens, and the teeth were bad, right? The teeth were bad. And then it cut. And then we were watching something else, and Boris Johnson came on. And Boris Johnson, you know, for being the Prime Minister of England, needs to see the dentist a little bit. His teeth are a little messed up, right? And then Rebecca said, "No wonder the Americans think that everyone's ugly in England, because these are what you're presented. The you know, a lot of the people, it's not the best of the best. Daniel Craig, he's a handsome bastard. Idris Elba, handsome guy. In fact, voted most handsome guy in the world, if I'm not mistaken.
Also, you know, if that matters to you, huge piece. You see that one video, that one image of him where he's like, it's just hanging down to his knee.
I want to see it.
But I know, look, yes, there are exceptions to the rules, but I would say for the most part, British women just, they're not, they're fine. I've seen some hot British chicks, not as hot as American chicks on average.
We need to bring up a list. Just Google.
Here's Miss America 2020, right?
Miss America 2020.
Look at that. USA.
And then here's Miss UK.
Hello.
Way better. She looks like, just hold on, let's go to her, right? Stronger, right? She's bragging already. She's stronger. She's got her hands on her hips. She's got attitude. I don't like it. She's going to be far too cocky. She doesn't know her place. She walks into her room. She commands respect. Look at her. Look at that look in her face. Smarmy. She's like, I'm pretty. I'm hot and I know it. She would be insufferable to be around. Now, go to Miss UK. Look at that. A face that you would, you know, she would say boo to a goose.
Well, she looks like she'd make me a sandwich, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the quality you're looking for in a woman.
She's got a lot of
teeth,
forehead veins, long teeth. Yeah. She's got big shoulders. I am not impressed with Miss Great Britain.
Well, shame on you. But I will say this. I do. It's kind of weird, isn't it? These women that do that. I mean, God, good for them. I'm not hating on it. But those women that do those kind of contests, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, you could say I'm narcissistic. I've got a picture of myself behind me. I've got my Hall of Fame trophy there. Pretty narcissistic. You on the flip side, you have your own face on your actual cup right now. So who are we to judge people for being narcissistic? But still, I would say that the people in those kind of pageants, that kind of whole scene, because I've seen documentaries about it with Louis Theroux. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a British documentary maker. Fantastic guy. You know, they're definitely a unique type of people.
Yeah, I mean, it is for sure pageant life, especially because it usually starts when they're little kids. It's not like a woman decides later on in her life that she wants to be in a pageant. It's more likely she was, I don't want to say forced into it, but it's probably pageant moms that are making them do it when they're little kids and they grow up into it. So it's never really their decision. You know? So there's something sort of like inherently sad about it to begin with. And yeah, it's just it's just very, very shallow, you know?
Yeah.
But fuck it. You know, I don't have a problem with it. Look, if they want to put themselves out there, just modeling in general, you know, like when you really look at it, like it's a very shallow sort of career path, and you're being judged just on your looks. You could pretend that walking in a straight line is some sort of fucking skill set, but it's just on your looks. And I mean, that pressure is definitely real, but you have to, even when you succeed, there has to be a moment where you look in the mirror and go like, fuck, like, what am I really doing? Like, there's no.
I know what you're saying, but still at the end of the day, you got to play to your strengths. And a lot of the time, not that I know anything about the pageant world or nothing, I know nothing about it, but I saw a documentary and it was kind of sad because you got these little girls and they're kind of dressed up a little tarty and they're covered in makeup. And it's kind of the mothers living through, I mean, I don't know if it's all like that, but this documentary that I saw kind of made that impression that it was kind of the mothers reliving their youth. But I'm sure there's good and bad in every single bunch. But to your point, when you say it's a little shallow, hey, listen, if you've got a talent, you've got a gift. To be honest, a lot of these days, models, they're not necessarily the most attractive looking people. They fit the requirements for a model, but they kind of have a quirky look about them. They have like something that looks unusual, that hasn't been seen before, that catches people's eyes. Of course, you're going to have the height requirements and all the rest of it. But can't blame someone for playing to the strengths, Lewis.
Not at all. And look, we all have, you know, we all have good looking kids, right? Like all three of your kids are beautiful. My son is a beautiful kid. My niece is beautiful.
My kids are way better looking than yours.
Oh, come on now, dog. What's wrong with us?
I know. I'm saying that's the joke though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Everyone thinks their kids are the best. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from hempfusion.com. Listen, you know the deal. Everybody talks about CBD these days. Everyone's got a CBD brand, but you want the best CBD on the market. Let me tell you about Hemp Fusion. It is, and they do so much rigorous testing. A lot of places claim to, or brands claim to be truly organic. Well, they are USDA approved. They go through so much testing to make sure they are the number one brand. They're the best quality, the best prices per milligram. And as I say, 100% organic. If you go to the website, hempfusion.com, a variety of CBD products, wellness products. They got skin creams. They got pain relief balms. They got the sleep support. They got the stress support. They got the anxiety support. They got a type of CBD for whatever you need. But Lewis, tell them about the sleep support.
I love the sleep support. I'll tell you right now, if you guys are having trouble sleeping, you want to get to sleep in a natural way. Don't take any of that bullshit from CVS, the drugs that you're putting into your body. That's absolutely awful. Their sleep support blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omegas, plus GABA and black pepper, plus clove oil. Together, they unleash the entourage effect, which sounds very douchey, but they really do work together to deliver a powerful benefit that will equal a well-rounded night of sleep.
Yes, and when you wake up in the morning, you feel great. What you alluded to there, Lewis, a lot of the stuff, like I'm not talking shit about certain brands, but sometimes I would take the over-counter sleep medications. I used to take ZQL a lot. And it does, it knocks you out. But the next day, fuck, you know, you're like a zombie. I swear to God. I'm having coffee after coffee, trying to get my engine going. But the body wants to, but the brain just wants to fall back asleep. With the sleep support from Hemp Fusion, you wake up feeling $1 million and raring to go. As I say, go to that website, hempfusion.com. Use the code COUNT at checkout. You're going to get 25% off and free shipping. And as I say, go to the website. So many products. They got tinctures. They got creams. They got drops. They got gummies. They got all kinds of stuff. They got pain relief creams. They got anti-aging creams, eczema cream. You name it, they've got it. Hempfusion.com is the site. And COUNT, C-O-U-N-T, is the code for 25% off and free shipping. Okay, where were we? Oh, big time Hollywood. Here he is. What's going on, mate? How are you?
Fuck all, mate. Just had to creep out of the house because the kids are sleeping to do this. So I've decided I'm going to get myself a little Maggie's Coke.
Hey, why not? Why not? I mean,
middleweight.
Full fat or Coke full Zero?
Full fat.
So, Darren, I believe there was a little rumor of you having a fight soon, but I think that might have changed. I don't want to go into any details, but is that what you're hearing? Oh,
yeah, I was shorting with DFC for about the past. To be honest, I was just maybe too eager, but I just messaged, you know, the bosses at UFC straight away, and I was like, if I give you a time scale of when I'm should be back, can we set something up or whatever? Because I know obviously they want to set a main event up with one of the top five.
Yes.
And then that was it. So we just had that little small conversation, but not set in stone. You know what I mean? I don't want to like commit to a fight and then pull out again, because I would be like the pullout king once. Two fights already on the run. So
the pullout king, that's Mike Bisping's title.
No, I wish I wouldn't have three kids. How is the collarbone, mate? Listen, we tried to have you on at the time. Of course, you know, you were devastated pulling out of that fight, but go on, give us the lowdown. So what actually happened?
This is my first interview since it as well. You know,
fucking should be. Well,
of course, obviously. Mike, you're like half a scouser, aren't you? And I've got time for you as well, Lewis. You know that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's very nice.
Hollywood Till and all that shit.
That was funny, that word.
Yeah, it was fucking... That voice note, mate, when you played it, I was laughing.
I know, and I played the wrong one at first. Oh, shit, yeah. Don't play that one. I was like, whoa, no.
Shit, Mike, you're bringing everyone in on our business, mate.
Yeah, no. But go on, collarbone.
So, I think it was like 6 days after it happened, I was back in the gym next door. We've got like a weight gym next door to ours, and we've got like a strength and conditioning coach who trains like, you know, the Smith brothers and that, Mike,
yep,
like the
yep.
boxers. He trains all good. He trains Leon Edwards, et cetera. So I just spoke to him and I said, can I get back in? Can I do legs? Can I do anything? I said, because I can't stay static. I said, because I've put too much work into like lose this fitness, you know, and put weight back on that. So 6 days after, mate, I was back in just trying to fucking grind whichever way I could. And I've recovered really quick. It's only been 7 weeks, remember, and I legitimately like broke my collarbone. And now Marvin come out and was like, I'm suspect. And I was thinking, fucking hell, okay, yes, I don't know, like, mate. You know what I mean? So I feel good, mate. I feel good. It was just such a...
But how did you actually break it, though?
Michael Grundy. I haven't said yet, but...
what a prick.
I know. Well, I can't call him that now because obviously he's just had a great fight on Saturday.
He did have a good fight. He came up short, but he looked good. He looked impressive. Yeah. The wrestling was good. So what happened? Did he take you down and come down on top of your hard?
We were just there was not many in that day. We were just trying to get some... we were just sweating some pounds off, and that was like a week and a half to go. So we were just drilling, you know, just out, you know, drilling goals, mate. We were just flowing, drilling, wrestling. And I just felt badly. I felt like with my arms... like in my chest. So as he's like dropped me but held onto my legs, I've like felt funny. And Terry Etten was sat on the ring with me, coach Colin. And Terry heard like a crack. And I heard a crack, but I didn't feel nothing. And I went to Terry, did you hear that? And he was like, yeah. And he just had this worried look on his face. So I went, let me just go in the toilet dead quick and just like fix myself up. Because any time I've had a bad, Mike, you're the king of it, mate. You know, you became a champion with one eye. So you know how we roll, mate. So went in the toilets and just sat there. And what I was trying to do, I was trying to crack me back and I couldn't move me back. So obviously it was like a three-way injury. So my collarbone to my shoulder connected to my back, they all connect, don't be.
The head bone connected to the feet bone.
It's all connected, innit? The cock's connected to the balls. All that shit. Yeah. So, so I was trying to like crack me back and that was weird. So this is what my thought process was, even though Colin just knew it weren't happening. I came back out and I said to Cole, can I go home and just give me a day? And he didn't even say nothing. He was just like, yeah, all right. I think he knew. So went home. Cole told me to load up on like ibuprofen, paracetamol, said to do hot and cold baths. Done it all night. And then I went to bed. I was thinking, you know, I was optimistic. I was thinking maybe I'll wake up and it's a strain. Mate, when I didn't sleep, I didn't get an ounce of sleep. When I woke up in the morning, mate, I couldn't move out of bed. I couldn't sit up or anything. And it was totally just completely and utterly broken. I could feel the bone floating about. And I just got in touch with the people who saw it. And I went up to Manchester University. Do you know that, man? Is that new, Mike? Or was that there when you lived around them?
No idea, mate. I don't know it.
Big university there. This better not be police behind me, by the way. My phone's on a holder.
Oh, there you go. You're laughing. But you are FaceTiming.
For our show, it would be really nice if you got pulled over and tased right now. But
maybe it's that copper that you had the to-do with last time for not having a mask on.
Well, I hope so, because he's getting filmed. Isn't he, the fucking cunt?
Have you been pulled over?
No, it's all good. I'm pulling over in one sec, Lewis. Calm your shit down, mate. Calm your shit.
It was this thing.
You know how these yanks are. No, it wasn't me. What are you talking about?
I thought it was you, Lewis. Were you throwing hate on my phone, man?
So it's feeling good now.
So just to finish the embassy, so I went to the university. So was there for like 8 hours just doing these. So they made me do like 4 x-rays, MRIs, but... And then they come out, and the doctor who knew one of the guys in the UFC was like, Till, how did you get here today? And I said, I drove, mate. When you drove, yeah? And I went, yeah. And at this point, I didn't know I had a broken collarbone. I just thought, like, fracture or whatever. He went, your collarbone's broken. I just went, what? I went, yeah, your collarbone's broken. You won't be fighting. And I went, can't you do anything? Can't you give me, like, them cortisones or anything to numb the pain? He went, no, mate. He said, you're going to be out for 16-plus weeks.
So, would you have done the fight with a broken collarbone?
100. If they could have... I remember when Conor done his knee before the Chad Mendes fight, didn't he? And didn't he like inject him with cortisone or some shit like that? If they would have been able to numb that pain, I would have fought. But Colin said no because he knew Vettori was going to fight that way, the way he fought against Holland. Yeah. And if we both agreed on a contract, come on, let's just do a 5-round striking battle. Maybe I could have just got past that. But Colin said, because of all like, if he's succeeding on a takedown, all like the get-ups and that, he said, Till, come on, mate. Let's just be realistic.
It's not just that, Darren. If you're hitting pads hard, even just training, hitting pads, you're going to feel that impact and all the way through your arm, into your chest, into your collarbone. Do you know what I mean? Listen, I respect the fact you wanted to fight, and that's why people love you and UFC fighters, because we take those chances. But
yeah,
you would have... It's not smart. You would have just made that injury 10 times worse. There's a good chance you would have lost the fight, and then you'd be sitting there now, you know, regretting the whole thing. So
yeah. Yeah,
especially now. Now seeing that Marvin got the title shot, you know, it's almost like two parts. Like, it's probably good in retrospect to have set this one out with an injury, because it was a very, the fight, it meant a lot. But number two, does it bug you at all knowing that Marvin's getting the title shot now?
No, it doesn't, because this is if you're seeing Saturday, I take inspiration from a lot of things, right? And if you see Charles Oliveira, he has just became the lightweight champion after what, 10 years? 11 years, how many losses, how many wins, how many setbacks, how much being looked over. So that for me is a big factor in it, knowing that I'm 28. I haven't been in MMA not that long, mate, only a few years. And I feel like I'm hitting my prime in the next year or two, mate. So let Marvin have a shot, you know, congrats on getting it and that. And I was saying this to my friend the other day, and like, I'm going to get half deep on yous now. I don't usually do it. I'm always about fun. I've sacrificed too much fucking shit in my life to get to this point and be like, yeah, man, I'm happy. I was a top three UFC fighter. A lot of people, Mike, will know this, get to the UFC and they feel like they've achieved it. I'm in the UFC, sound. I ain't happy with just being in the UFC.
To a lot of people, that's it. They've achieved their goal. They've climbed to the top of the mountain. It's like, yes, I'm in the fucking UFC. Yes. You say, hold on a minute. No, this is where the hard work starts now. Getting to the UFC is one thing. Staying there, winning fights, and maybe being a fucking champion, they are two separate things.
100%. And that's what I said to my friend. We were having like a deep conversation. I said, listen, mate, I said, I've sacrificed too much fucking shit. I've never had another job. I've never done any other shit in my life. I said, I've gone through hell, you know, and I've got to this point, and it's like, I'm not prepared in any way, shape or form to take any step backs. In fact, I'm getting more fucking, I don't know how you call it, but every day I feel like I'm more violent to just like get what I want. And in retrospect, like, I'm not going to let no one or nothing stop me. I know for a fact in my life I will be a UFC champion. There just ain't no two ways about it.
Darren, I fully agree. And you've probably seen I've been doing a lot of interviews recently, and I say it in every single interview, and I'm not just blowing smoke, I'm not kissing ass, and I'm not just having the back of an English brother and a friend. I firmly believe that also, and you did the right thing. There's no point rushing. You got all the fucking time in the world. I think I was 37 or 38 when I won the belt, maybe even 39. You've got at least 10 fucking years, mate. Do you know what I mean? Rushing in there against Vettori would have been stupid. It would have been stupid. It would. No other word for it. Now you're on the mend, you're feeling good. Derek Brunson, that's the opponent. Is that locked in?
I think it's 50. Obviously, I've spoke with Derek privately as well. And in a respectful manner, I know everyone thinks I'm quite disrespectful, which I am. It's fighting. But I said to Derek, like, you know, on a level, I said, listen, mate, you know, I've got fucking respect for you and your team and whatever. So, mate, if you want to get this fight on the road, we can do it. I said, you've just got to give me time. And he was like, oh, well, I'm looking to come back earlier than that. I said, listen, mate, if you want to come back earlier and there's no stopping yet, of course. I said, but apart from Izzy, there's no one else who's a bigger fight than me in that top five. Like, so you pick and choose, mate, you know. And he was like, yeah, okay, I think I'm going to wait it out and fight with you in that. So I was like, sorry, mate, let's do it.
So why are you so interested in the Brunson fight?
I'm always interested in the bigger challenge. Like when I bumped up to middleweight and I fought KG after he just, you know, very nearly beat Adesanya, and I was thinking to myself, that's the number two killer in the middleweight division. I want to fight him, even though I was fucking shit scared. I was thinking that's the hill to climb. So now with Brunson, the way he's racking his wins up, and he's totally a different fighter from myself. He's a brilliant wrestler. I just think, yeah, coming off a broken collarbone, I'll have to do all this. I know it sounds mad, but he's my mountain.
Yeah, but if you look at the stylistic matchup on the feet, and I like Derek, he's a nice guy. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not talking shit. He's a great guy. He's a very, very good fighter. I enjoy talking to him, and he's very respectful. But on the feet, you kill this guy. It's not a competition. For you to win that fight, it's essentially stopping takedowns. Now, he is a very, very good wrestler. With the collarbone, though, I would have thought that might be a bit of an issue. So you definitely don't want to rush, because obviously fighting for underhooks and shit, that's going to put a lot of strain on that area. You know what I'm saying?
100%. And as you just said, yeah, you know, stand up, I win, and then all that shit, you know, even with a heel collarbone. I'm always one of these fighters, Mike. I'll sit down and analyse who has got them. Like, remember years ago, them interviews a lot of fighters would do, and they'd be like, he can't beat me in nowhere, this, all that. And I'd be like, surely he must have somewhere to beat you. Don't just sit there and say that. Who are you trying to convince me? Or do you know what I mean?
Like, or yourself.
Yeah. Like, Derek's a better wrestler than me. There's no two ways about it, but This is MMA. This ain't wrestling.
Now, I want to get off track a minute. I don't know if you saw this last week, Lewis, but last week, Darren, being the troll that he is, it was fucking hilarious. He's on with Hamzat Chimaev. Did you see it, Lewis?
I didn't see this.
No. Oh, he's talking to Hamzat last week. I wish we had a fucking clip to play. He jumps on an Instagram live with him, and he is just being funny, having a laugh. Hamzat pulls out a fucking flick knife. Tell me how all that came about, Darren, because I was laughing my head off.
No, I was on Insta at the time. I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was posting something about watches, or someone sent the live. But you know the way you get your requests. But the message this guy had on phone, and like, well, I don't follow anyone, but it come through, and it was like a live of Hamzat. So I thought, I'm jumping on that straight away. Fuck that shit. So I got on it, and I was just commenting, "Get me in the live, you shit." I was, "Get me in the live," and then he got me in the live, and he was like, "Yeah, brother, I smash," and then pulling knives out. I was like,
"Yeah.
Is this a knife concept? What the fuck's going on now, mate? Like, do you know what I mean?" So,
there it is. Let's have a little look. Bit of sound, Brian. Bit of sound.
Hey, what's happening?
How are you?
What's that?
Hey, yeah. I'm good, man. How are you doing?
What are you talking about? Is Ramadan finished yet?
Yeah, the Ramadan finished. We started with them, but I don't
know. That's a fucking knife!
That is some alpha subconscious. He wanted to let you know, oh yeah, come on my live, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, what a lunatic. What else is going on in your life, Darren? We'll let you go shortly. Obviously, yeah, McDonald's is calling.
The trainer, Mike, you know, same old me. I don't have a normal life, so there's always, you know, Mike, you know, there's always craziness going on. There's always shit happening. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Good.
Keeping up to date with all the UFC stuff. What do you think? Obviously, you watched Oliveira at the weekend. Give me your thoughts on that.
Just think he's absolutely amazing. Like, yeah. People were asking me, and we was at like poker on Saturday, and people were going, "Till you've got inside of me." I was like, "Mate, I'm just the public like yous. I don't know who's gonna win." I said, "But if I had to pick, I think Charles might take it." And they're like, "Chandler, though." And I was thinking, "Listen, it's a 50-50 fight." Like, but wow.
I was so happy for him. And you could see he was as well. I mean, all those years in there, I think he's had 8 finishes, been stopped. I mean, he's been finished 8 times. It just goes to show, I mean, I had a topsy-turvy road to get in the belt, you know what I mean? But that man never gave up on himself. Now on an 8-fight win streak, I think it is. And to finish him the way he did. And the fight was fucking exciting, man. From start to finish, it was good back and forth. I absolutely loved it. Brilliant.
What do you think about, like, now with the top 4 and Conor involved? What do you think is going to play out? I'd be keen to
know. Well, I think, obviously, I'm no authority. But, and you know, Dana's always plays it cagey because you never know what's going to happen. He says, we'll see how it plays out. But you got to think, Dustin versus Conor, the winner of that is going to fight Charles Oliveira. And that's why I'm, again, so happy for Charles, because I don't know his financial situation, but he's been like, he's been a well-respected talent, but he hasn't had the fame. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's made the most money for as good as his skills are. And I'm not saying that, I'm not talking shit about the UFC, but he hasn't been that big superstar. Do you know what I mean? But the skill has always been there. He comes from the favelas, and now here he is. He's a fucking champion of the world. And in his next fight, he gets a, regardless who wins, whether it's Conor or Dustin, that's going to be a massive pay-per-view. And the guy's going to make fucking bank. And regardless of when he retires, because he's only 31, but he's going to make some life-changing money, and he goddamn deserves it.
The matter of the fact, though, with the marketing thing and that, because money, mate, he does need to speak English now. That's like, he needs to speak English. Like, come on, yeah. You fight for an American company. It's like me when I was in Brazil. I knew I needed to speak Brazilian.
Yeah. There was an example in the weekend. I forget who it was. Who was it? Hold on, who just won? And then they started speaking English. I think it might have been Charles Oliveira on a post-fight show at the press conference. I'm not sure. There was a Brazilian just recently, and I turned to my wife and I said, oh my God, look at that. He just, obviously, not in Brazil, because they can relate to him, but here it's dominated by a Western audience, if you will, certainly in America. And when you hear them speaking your native tongue, you get to understand the personality, you get to understand their sense of humor, their tone of voice, all the rest of it. And it just made such a difference. So you're right, as sad as it is, I do think in terms of him being that next level superstar, learning to speak English will be massive.
Like the thing with Anderson, it was mad because he could speak English, but he used to act like he didn't. And I'm thinking, mate, I know you can speak English. Why are you acting like you can't?
Well, Anderson also had that, like, he didn't have a very intimidating voice. It was like, oh,
yeah.
Very nice to meet you. You're like, all right, maybe you shouldn't speak, Anderson. Just do what you
like
do.
When he tried to be all respectful with Mike, and Mike was like, Viagra, I was thinking, what a wanker Mike is, man.
No, fuck that. We squared up in front of the Tower of London. I don't know what he was doing. He was just doing this the whole time. Was that blowing his nose? I'm like, what are you doing? Is that supposed to be intimidating, mate? That's not going to work. Darren. Big news of the weekend. Miss Universe was on. Miss Mexico won it. Are you a fan? Do you watch the Miss World competitions, the Miss Universes?
I said to my girlfriend the other day, it's like porn. I'm like swaying towards male porn at the moment. Like, I don't know what it is with me. Like,
hey, whatever you're in. No, we heard it here first.
That's okay.
BYM exclusive. Darren Till.
It's a new gets UFC. It's a different
on a
time.
Bit of male porn. Hey, listen, 2021.
Yeah. Like, why can't I just enjoy it? Can't I just enjoy a bit of male porn from time to time? Like,
hey,
what?
Listen. Hey, he's got a nice member. Who are we to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Discriminate. Who are we to discriminate? You know what I mean?
Who's your favorite male porn star? Dan.
I think I'll see the podcast off. Like, what are we going on about?
What's that guy called? Johnny Sins. I think he's the only one that I know, but Johnny Sins. Go on, lad. He's having a good time.
Johnny Sins is a fucking beast.
We all know Mia Khalifa. We all know Mia.
Oh, shit.
God. This is going to be all over Twitter now, man.
Well, no, listen, you're the one that brought up male porn. We're just asking about the Miss Universe contest, and you said, well, yeah, it's like porn, isn't it? You know what? Because I enjoy a bit of male porn these days. They were your words, Darren.
Listen, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on right now.
Harrington, do we have a contender for Miss Liverpool that we can bring on screen?
Can we admit this? Because me and Bisping were arguing before. There's better looking chicks in America. That's Miss Liverpool.
That better not be Liverpool.
For the audio listeners, we just brought up a very old, haggard lady. No disrespect to her.
Yeah.
All right, Darren. Listen, mate, you're the man.
Cool.
So it's going to be Derek Brunson. You don't have a date yet.
In a few months, I think the UFC just needs to give me time, and I think they need to make the right choice with the right events somewhere in the world, you know. And
Darren,
that's it.
In October, I'm coming over. Manchester, London... Where else? Birmingham, Dublin, Glasgow, with Lewis. We're doing a show. Are you going to come and watch?
Wow.
Are you going to come and watch? Are you going to be there?
Yes, like your show, yeah. If it was Brendan Schwab, but it's fucking shite. No.
Whoa. Who's this?
So that's actually Miss Liverpool. She's 19 and perfect.
That's Miss Liverpool? Jesus Christ. She's a child, Brian.
No comment.
Yeah, 19.
No comment.
And we apologize to Brendan Schaub on behalf of Darren Till's.
Yeah, we love Brendan Schaub's comedy. I think he's
Brendan
a Schwab, genius.
Brendan Schwab and the commentary desk on Mike Grundy's fight. Fuck you guys. Fuck you
what
guys.
Were the commentary like, team saying? Were they sucking the other one off?
Towards that little Lando Venata. Come on. Give Grundy some props.
Hey, Grundy's wrestling was very good. He had an excellent gas tank. He went on the attack the whole time. But Lando Venata was winning the fight, and he did look very groovy.
His defense off Grundy's takedowns was brilliant against like the way he was slipping out. It was really good.
Yeah. And I got to say, Grundy did impress me with his wrestling because I knew he was a wrestler, but I thought his wrestling looked, you know, his entries, you know what I mean? The technique of the man has very good. Yeah. Venata's good though. Venata's good. I knew that was a hard matchup for both of them.
Yeah, tough. Like, Navas is like good, awkward style fighter, but Grundy showed, man, he's a terrific fighter and, you know.
Yeah. All right.
You're
only
saying that because he shattered your collarbone.
Yeah, that's it. What are we getting from McDonald's? If you weren't on a fighter's diet right now, obviously you're getting the Coke, but what would you go for? What would be the order of choice?
Do you want to listen? Shall I get it?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Inside info. Let's go.
Okay. Well, I didn't sit in the Mackey's car park because I didn't want like people to see me doing this. You know, I am a Hollywood till, you know.
That's it. You know what I mean?
Come on. But the Mackey's is right next to a police shop.
So I've gotta be careful.
Gotta be careful, mate.
For the audio listeners, Darren's going through a drive-through right now. He's about to order. We're all waiting with bated breath.
I'm not going to eat what I get because of it, but I'm gonna. No, because then that's wasting food. You don't do shit like that. What?
But what would you order then? Just tell us.
What would you order? I don't know. I need to see, don't I?
Double quarter pounder with cheese, large fries.
I'm just going to say this. The Big Mac is overrated.
Shut up.
Big Mac's shite.
Yeah.
Big Mac is incredible.
No. Listen, I don't think you get it in America. Darren, remember a Big Tasty?
Yeah, well, do we got Chicken Legend here, right? I'm up to order. Be quiet.
All right, while we're waiting for Darren to place his very unhealthy order, can we talk about a very healthy snack? Our Paleo Valley, I love this sponsor. They're such an incredible treat. If you guys are on the go, if you're trying to be healthy, you want to have delicious, amazing, grass-fed beef jerky. It is by far the tastiest beef jerky you're ever going to have in your entire life.
Yeah, and listen, Darren is ordering now an utter load of shite. Snacks on the go that aren't good for you. Snacks on the go that are full of chemicals. Snacks on the go, they don't really taste that good, let's be honest. Okay, sometimes a McDonald's can do. But if you want to be healthy, you want to be low carb, and you want to make sure you're not putting any crap in your body, then Paleo Valley Beef Sticks, 100% grass-fed, are the way to go. We've talked about it all the time. It's full of none of the nonsense, okay? There's no mechanically separated chicken. There's no hormones. There's none of that MSG. None of that BS, bromine, none of that crap. What is it? It's 100% grass-fed beef, low carb, keto, easy on the go, good for you, good for the kids, absolutely delicious. Good for you, tastes good, said that already, said that many times, but let's stress that again, and value for money because we have a fantastic code. If you go to paleovalley.com to order the grass-fed beef sticks, which are great on the go, they're a beautiful snack, they're convenient, and they taste amazing. Well, if you use the code BELIEVE15, you're going to take 15% off your first order. So don't be a fat knacker. Don't go to McDonald's. Don't fill your body with chemicals, bromine, and mechanically separated chicken. Go to paleovalley.com. Use the code BELIEVE15. Take 15% off and get in shape for summer. Okay. Where were we?
Hi, please.
Could I have a large Coke and a large Diet Coke, please, love?
One tap.
Two Cokes?
Yeah, large Coke, large Diet Coke, I don't know.
Do you do them cream egg McFlurries?
What? Cream egg, not anymore.
No, what McFlurries have you got?
She doesn't even understand she's from there.
Smarties, Oreo.
Oh, the Smarties.
You got the Galaxy ones?
Yeah.
Can I have a Galaxy one, please, love?
Galaxy normal or Galaxy caramel?
Galaxy normal.
Yeah, Galaxy normal all day.
And by the way, if Darren tells Mrs. Wait, this is the moment. Right here, guys. We have it on camera.
We're curry. Yeah, that's it, love. Thanks.
Yeah, any thoughts?
Curry, please.
Yeah, that's
good.
Thank
you. Curry sauce.
It went from having a Diet Coke to having a milkshake.
There's all scallies in another car now looking at me thinking, there's Till, what a wanker. Is he on the fucking podcast at Bisping? What a bigger wanker.
Yeah. What a dickhead. Going through McDonald's doing a podcast. All right, Darren. Well, listen. Well, you enjoy the McFlurries.
Stay there,
don't get
mate.
Too
Come
fat,
on.
Mate.
I love. You okay?
This is nobody else is doing this. Fly on the wall in Darren Till's car as he orders McDonald's.
I mean, this is hard-hitting reporting here.
I'm getting my meal now.
All right. Hold on. We're under orders, everybody, to stay.
Hey.
Tell us to hurry up, though, Darren.
All right, love.
Darren, tell us a joke while you wait. Tell us your favorite joke.
Yeah, give us a joke.
Come on, it's fucking...
Yeah, exactly.
You can't think of anything but a fucked up joke.
I can, but I don't think my career would survive it.
Yeah, you don't want to get cancelled. It's a shame, isn't it? Because all jokes these days, like something like, I'm from my generation, all the jokes are kind of, they're a little racist, let's be honest. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there's no harm in it. But like, they're the ones that come to your mind. So it's like, well, do not say anything like that.
Puerto Rican, a Mexican, and a black guy in a car. Who's driving?
Puerto Rican, Mexican, and a black guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The police.
Okay.
No, it's not.
All right. Thanks, love. Some curry, please. Yeah, I've got it. Thanks, Ron.
What is he having curry for? He's a milkshake. Why are you getting curry sauce?
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, no, I know. I was like, did he get fries or something? So he wanted curry sauce to go with it. But you're right. He's got Cokes. He's got McFlurries, which is ice cream, and curry sauce.
Thanks, man. Thank you. See you later.
And our subscribers are going down by the second right now, mate. We got to get with this, pal. What the fuck?
Fuck off. Wait, right. I'm going to tell you what I wanted to say, and then I'm going to go. Right.
Okay.
So what did you say about the racism, Mike?
The racism. I don't know. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything.
I'm not going to cancel your show, don't worry. Right. So here's my take on racism, and I'll destroy it in one second, yeah? Right. Someone is black and someone is white. And that's it, that's race. So if you say to someone, yeah, you're black, that's not racist. If you say you're white, that's not racist. I don't get it, mate. I've never understood racism, and I never will. Do you understand? Do you get it or not?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. What you're saying is it's an observation. Now, some people might say, but that's white privilege because you don't understand. Or Dana White privilege, if you're Tony Ferguson.
Dana White privilege is a great line.
I'll be honest, I just don't get racism within 2021. I just don't understand it anymore. Like, it seems like it's a lot more in America, obviously, because of all the shit going on. But I don't understand it. I don't think I'll ever understand it. Like, what does it mean?
I think you also, you guys get to, because it seems like there's more in America. It's because our media knows to sink their hooks into it, and they know what sells. So they love portraying racism in the media regularly. So, but I agree with you. I don't know. I grew up mixed race, so I have a different perspective on things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, listen, on that.
No, why you going? Stay.
Put your seatbelt on.
Because we got shit to talk about, okay? You're going down the racism rabbit hole. Next, we're talking about the election. We're talking about the big lie. We got to fucking change the subject. We got to go. You have your fucking McFlurry, okay? Right? Choke on it and fuck off.
Why are you in a hurry?
Fuck you!
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, Darren Till, he's the man. He's the man.
The great
Enjoy
Darren
your
Till.
McFlurry, mate. Enjoy your McFlurry.
Babe! Have a coffee.
It's very hot in here. It's very hot. Either that or Darren was making me very nervous. I don't know what he was going to say, and far be it from us to edit anything out. Darren, thank you very much for joining us. You are the man, as always. UFC 262, we're going to talk about this stuff. It was unreal. I mean, let's talk about this main event right off the bat because it stole the show. And we talked about it a bit there with Darren, but I was so happy for Charles Oliveira. And, you know, I'm going to use a couple of lines I've already used. But, you know, we had the Jose Aldo era. You know, we had the Khabib era. And now we're in the Oliveira. But
I was going to hate it so much until it came out of your mouth, and then I enjoyed it. And now I'm starting to hate it a little bit now that a
Me
couple
too.
Seconds has passed, but it's pretty good. Do you think it's going to be the all right, let's not even go there yet.
No, I'm going to say,
conversation.
Let's talk about the fight.
Let's talk about the fight. Yeah, yeah, because we could talk about the aftermath of the future for Charles Oliveira, but what a fucking fight.
Dude.
I mean, oh my God, dude. Look, here's the thing. Obviously, Charles Oliveira doesn't want to have to deal with that much adversity in winning the title. I think if you could snap your fingers, you go, oh yeah, I'd get a knockout in 4 seconds and, you know, break UFC records. Holy shit. But for the storybooks, for his career, when it's all said and done, when the smoke clears and we look at Charles Oliveira, the way that he won that title, you couldn't have written it better. It was a Rocky Balboa moment. You know, that first round, he looked like he was in real trouble. And to come out and to, you know, it wasn't even like he caught him with the submission. He came out and he caught him with that hook. It was on the fucking button. It was absolutely beautiful. Beautiful combo. And it was almost, and I hate to get all girly about this, but I almost got emotional watching Charlie Oliveira.
Me too.
Jump out of the ring, get up in Joe Rogan's face and start screaming. And I mean, it was genuine happiness you can't describe it, right? We're talking about true, genuine joy. And it made me emotional because I was like, holy shit, dude, like you don't really get to see that too often. Like people on TV especially, it's so edited and it's so, you know, it's very rare you see a real moment of genuine joy. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll get to that in a second. But in the fight, he had the correct game plan. I talked about it. He had to walk him down, get in his face, put the wrestler on the back foot. And that's what he did straight away. Well, in fact, no, straight away, he drops him with a fucking calf kick. He got off to a tremendous start, started pressuring a lot. But then Chandler, of course, he's an explosive striker. He's got good heavy hands. Hit Oliveira with a couple of shots, and then that forced Oliveira shoots a double leg takedown, and Chandler jumped to the guillotine. And I was like, oh, fuck. I mean, may the best man win. Of course, may the best man win, but I didn't want it to end there and then, so I was willing Oliveira to get out of it. And then when he did pop his head out, I was like, whoa, now Michael Chandler is in a lot of trouble because that's his world. Oliveira, that's his world. The most submissions in UFC history. And he had some tremendous control, took the back, all the rest of it, you know. But Chandler, being the stud that he is, managed to get out of it. Starts landing him with some good shots, right? And then Oliveira was almost essentially done, right? And he was on the floor, and the instincts to move the head, that's what kind of saved him. Because if he took one or two more flush shots, that fight was over. Right. But he moved his head around like that side to side. Then he goes to his guard. Right. And then from there, Chandler did a good job of continuing the ground and pound. But Oliveira was attacking submissions the whole time. Oliveira did a really good job of controlling him to a certain degree. He got the butterfly hooks in. He had control. He was going for a leg. He was going for an arm. He was going for a triangle. I mean, he was going after him, you know, submission after submission. Of course, Chandler was throwing him off and Chandler was dropping bombs as well. So they were both fighting. But when at the end of the first round, two judges gave a 10-8 to Michael Chandler. And I thought that was crazy. I thought it was a 10-9. It was because I watched it back again Sunday morning because I had to do the BT Sport wrap-up show. And I wanted to be informed, so I watched it again. And for the first half of the round, literally the first half of the round, it was 2 minutes and 30 seconds, pretty much, give or take 1 or 2 seconds, where Oliveira was in control. That's half of the round. After dropping him, putting him on his ass with the kick, then landing some shots and then threatening submissions, half a round. And then the other half of the round was Michael Chandler. Now, Michael Chandler was more devastating in what he did. He definitely came closer to finishing the fight. But to score that a 10-8, I thought was a little unusual. But then as we know, second round he went out. And it was beautiful. I mean, he connects with that left hook. But the reason being, Chandler went in trying to land the shot. And when he came back, he just came straight out. And he left his head there on the center line. Didn't move the head to side and side. There was no head movement. There was no bobbing or nothing like that. And he was right there. Perfect shot. Boom. Drops him with the left hook. And then from there, it was over. Hits him with an elbow. Hits him with a knee. Chandler Kanza gets on his bike. You know, not running away, but, you know, just getting away from the onslaught. And then, boom. Another little left hook. Just unbelievable. And to your point, Lewis, when he jumps over the octagon and he's running through the crowd and he starts dancing and the crowd are going crazy. Yeah, I got a little emotional. I really felt for the guy. I even thought, for fuck's sake, why didn't I do that when I won the belt? Here it is here. Chandler's in a world of trouble there. Dang. Boom, it is.
That last one was the one that really finished him, that last left hook.
It was so good because, and here's the thing as well, because I said to my wife, and I can say this now, but I was really rooting for Charles Oliveira to win the fight. And I said to my wife, I said to Rebecca when we were watching, I said, why am I rooting against Michael Chandler? Because I don't understand, because Michael Chandler's a nice guy. Michael Chandler is a hell of a fighter. Michael Chandler kind of deserves this spot. He came in with a ton of hype, knocked out Dan Hooker, and the other guys are tied up. So I'm like, so why am I rooting for Charles Oliveira so much? I didn't understand it. But then it dawned. Well, because the man fucking deserves it. He's been in the UFC for 11 years. He's had his ups and downs. He's been finished. But now he's on a streak, you know. So if there's two guys, you know, no disrespect to Chandler, but he's had one fight and he's fighting for the belt. There's another guy that's been in there for 11 years, that's paid his fucking dues, that's been knocked out, that's been stopped, that's had highs, that's had lows, that's made sacrifices. I mean, come on, how can you not root for that guy? And then he goes out and he does it in such spectacular fashion. Man, I couldn't be happier for Charles Oliveira.
I mean, it sounds like you're speaking about yourself right now. The reason you're rooting for Charles Oliveira is because you see yourself in him, and we all do. The reason we rooted for you, it's because, you know, there's a quality there where you go like, you know, it's a Rocky Balboa story. The guy who's been down in the dumps, who's had tough losses, who looks like it may not come together, and then he goes and does that in such spectacular fashion. Like, that's the movie. No offense to the Michael Chandler movie. That's not as interesting of a movie. You know, you have a guy, and I don't know, I shouldn't say this because I'm definitely speaking out of turn because I don't know his background. I don't know what he went through and the adversity that he went through. But Michael Chandler, for all intents and purposes, is a very handsome guy in great shape, collegiate wrestler. My assumption is his back, he doesn't have the same exact upbringing as Charles Oliveira growing up in favelas of Brazil.
Yes.
This long storied career. I mean, come on, who?
Honestly,
Michael Chandler might be a UFC champion one day, so he still has plenty of time. So
listen, Michael Chandler handled the defeat with class as well, you know, and he did everything right. He did everything right. So I've got nothing negative to say about Michael Chandler. But to your point just then, I also don't know much about Michael Chandler's background, but I'm going to say with certainty, with 100% certainty, that growing up in the favelas of Brazil for Charles Oliveira, which is where he's from, was a little tougher than Michael Chandler. Now, that aside, that doesn't matter. That shouldn't mean who you should root more for, you know, and there is no prerequisite in combat sports that because you're going to fight, you need to have come from adversity. You need to have had a shitty childhood. You need to have survived abuse when you were a child. No, that's, you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? It just makes it even more impressive, actually, if you do come from a background where you had lots of options and you still chose to do that. But still, Oliveira, all the time in the organization, coming from the favelas, going out there and doing it in such style. Yeah, I was so happy for him. And I got a little emotional as well. And then I saw on Twitter today, the man, I saw on Twitter today a video of where we delivered a bunch of food in the favelas. There was a few cars full of food in the trunks, in the boot. And I'm like, that must be an old video because there's no way he's back there. But if he has literally jumped on the very next plane to Brazil and then gone to the favelas like that and done that, that man deserves the key to the city, the Medal of Freedom, hell, the UFC Championship of the world. Why not while we're at it?
I'll take it a step further. He deserves Miss Brazil. One night with Miss Brazil.
I like it. I like it. I mean, it's the least she can do. You know what I mean? Let's put him on the map. Could you imagine he ends up with Miss Brazil now as well? Ooh. My God.
Yeah, look, I'm reading about Chandler right now. Born and raised in Missouri, second of four children.
Let's focus on the winner.
Yeah.
Focus on the winner. Chandler lost. Chandler lost.
Well, he was an honor roll student, Chandler. So, yeah, I'm just saying, you know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's great.
Good for him. He's smarter than a smart guy.
Yeah, it was a goddamn incredible performance and good for Charles Oliveira. It is really interesting now because the lightweight division has opened up and it's really, really intriguing again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Khabib, the dominance of Khabib, it doesn't lend any, it doesn't lend many storylines to the lightweight division. When somebody clears out the division and does it in such dominating fashion, it almost makes you start looking at other divisions for those storylines. And look, this is where, you know, we want a storyline. We want the background. We want to, you know, be emotional about this. So there's so much going on here right now. And I'm very excited to sort of see how the smoke clears and who Charles Oliveira is going to fight next.
And listen, I'm telling you, Charles Oliveira, we're talking about Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier being the next to challenge for the belt. And that's probably a very likely scenario, whoever wins that fight. And then common knowledge would probably think, and whoever wins that fight is going to fight Charles and beat Charles. I don't know, man. As I said, we're in the Oliveira, right? Because the man, as we saw, he's got the most knockouts, the most submissions in the UFC. He can wrestle. He took down Chandler with a beautiful double leg. He's got tons of experience and he's got knockout fucking power. The man's knocking people out now as well. And of course, I said this last week, I see a difference in the way he carries himself. He believes in himself now. He's in his physical prime. He's 31 years old and he's a champion of the world. What I'm saying is Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor, you know, I'm not counting them out of the fight, but you got to go into that fight giving this man a tremendous amount of respect because he is for real. He really is. In fact, it was nice to see, obviously, Conor came out of the weekend and tweeted, congrats on becoming the 11th champion. I wonder who number 12 will be. Of course, fair question. And then Charles Oliveira, Brian, if you want to bring this video up, Charles Oliveira with his translator, Alex Davies. Alex Davies, shout out, by the way, tremendous guy. Oliveira, I think he spoke English. Did he speak English? I'm not sure if that's who I was talking about. But Oliveira was grinning ear to ear, talking about the matchup.
Yeah, actually, Mike, it was just this tweet here that I have.
Okay, Oh, my bad. My bad. I called him out a bunch of times. He never wanted it. Now he has to come after me. Yeah, there was a video floating around, but my bad. I thought that sent that through, Brad. But yeah, see, that's the thing. When you become the champion, it all changes, you know. Now, what is it? The hunter becomes the hunted. You know, Charles Oliveira is the man at the top. He probably never thought, well, no, he probably did think, but, you know, you now he's there. Everyone's itching to fight Charles Oliveira. It's a beautiful position for him to be in. And as I said before, I'm so happy, right? Because whether it's Dustin, whether it's Conor, regardless, that is going to be a massive pay-per-view because Dustin Poirier is a huge star now as well. Certainly after beating Dustin Poirier, beating Conor McGregor, Dustin is a massive household name. He already was. He was already a big star. But after he knocked out Conor McGregor, he's like one of the biggest stars in the promotion. So whether it's Dustin, whether it's Conor, Charles Oliveira is going to be a part of a pay-per-view that probably does over a million buys, and he's going to make bank. He is going to make more money than he ever dreamed of making. He's going to have millions of dollars sat in his bank account. He's going to go back to the favelas, and he might get robbed and murdered on the very first night home. So be careful. Take some of that money and buy a bodyguard. I'm joking, yeah, by the way.
Maybe get some security. Isn't it funny that we're still talking about Conor McGregor being in the title picture, even though he's gone 3-1 in his last four fights? Or, I'm sorry, 1-3 in his last four fights. Very, very funny. But he is that guy. I think Dustin's going to be Conor the second time. And I think we're going to probably see Dustin versus Charles Oliveira, which is just an incredible fight as well. Either way, no matter what happens right now, we have all of these super intriguing, very, very high profile, very exciting matchups, right? The other thing you forget about Khabib is Khabib was making everyone look like they were fucking, you know, he was playing with everyone. He was making everyone look bad. It wasn't even like he was like, Khabib is very exciting, especially for that style specifically. But he was sort of making exciting fighters look bad. And now you have all these guys who are just absolute killers at the top of the pack at 155 that just all look intriguing. Yeah, so every single one of these fights, there's not a single Justin Gaethje, throw him in there. I mean, holy shit. Any one of these fights can be an insanely exciting matchup.
Well, I think now Michael Chandler should fight Justin Gaethje. I think that's a great fight. Ooh. Because Gaethje needs a fight. Last time we saw Gaethje, he lost a title fight. A title attempt against Khabib. We just saw Chandler lose in a title fight, right? So they're both coming off a loss, both coming off world title attempt. So I think that's a perfect logical matchup. Two strikers, two guys with heavy hands. That makes for a good one. Okay.
And then, of course, it's the coming out party for Beneil Dariush.
Well, I was just about to get into that right now. Beneil Dariush. I mean, listen, can you try and find the picture while I talk of Tony Ferguson and Beneil Dariush, when they raised Beneil Dariush's hand, please, Harrington, if you can find that moment, because I'm going to get to that in a minute, but if you can find that, we could see into the soul of Tony Ferguson at that moment, and I'll get to that in a second. But Beneil Dariush went out there Saturday night and, you know, did, unfortunately, what I thought he may do, right? Tony, we know what's going on. His best days are probably behind him now. But Beneil Dariush, we'll get to Tony in a second. Let's focus on how great Beneil was. Beneil went out there. Tony looked a little sloppy. Beneil put the pressure on, right? Looked good in the stand-up, connected with a few shots, and then just out-wrestled him. Picked him up, slammed him down on multiple occasions. And the thing was, once he got on top, Tony was essentially done, you know. And back in the early days, Tony would have reversed that. He would have found a way out of there. He would have threatened submissions. He would have hit sweeps. He would have got back to his feet. But Beneil was just one step ahead. Now, primarily, that's because Beneil is a sensational grappler. The man's fought in very, very high-level jiu-jitsu competitions. He can wrestle well. He's got great jiu-jitsu. He's big. He's strong. He's in his prime. Right? The guy can hit hard. So it was a tough night for Tony Ferguson. But if you look at Tony Ferguson Saturday night, he's always lean. Right? But he looked particularly skinny, if you will. And I say skinny with hesitancy because it's obviously kind of an insulting term to use. But he did look particularly lean on Saturday night. And I think what happened was the pressure of losing those two fights, of course, he's 37, not getting any younger, but the pressure caused him to train so fucking hard that he overtrained and it had a detrimental effect. And when you're taken down, of course you need technique. If you're going to get back to your feet, if you're going to hit a sweep, get a submission, you need technique, but also being strong and powerful definitely helps. And I feel that if Tony wasn't, and I don't know if he was overtrained, but he looked like a man that was overtrained to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, it sounds, I don't want to sound disrespectful, but, you know, Tony doesn't look like the same Tony from back in the day, right? And this has been the case for the last few fights. And the weigh-ins were after we did Thursday's show, right? And I think we both picked Beneil Dariush, right?
Yeah.
But I, after that press conference, I was like, oh shit, dude, Tony's really with it and really confident. And he was just putting on a show. He was the most interesting thing about that press conference, right? And he was talking shit about everybody, you know, talking shit about Michael Chandler. He was essentially just giving Charles Oliveira the credit for being there. And it was awesome. And he put on a great show. And I started going like, oh shit, dude, maybe Tony really believes in himself right now. Maybe there's something there. And you, we've talked about it before. Is it psychological? Is it physical? He seemed really with it. Actually, he seemed more with it than he seemed in a really long time. He was very funny. He was very on point, very sharp. But just physically, he just seems to be a beat behind where he was in the past. He used to be so wily and crazy, and you didn't sort of expect what was coming. Now it seems like the other guy is leading the dance with Tony.
Yeah, listen, I agree with everything you said as well. The press conference, same thing. I picked Benil literally like 2 hours before on this podcast, and then watching Tony Ferguson, I was like, I don't know, man. I think Tony's in with a shot here. I think fucking hell, I think I'm going to change my mind on my pick. And he did it. Tony does have the belief. Of course he does, right? And everyone out there can have the belief. I always talk about this. Confidence is the most important thing, right? I drive that home all the time. You've got to have your self-belief. If you haven't got the self-belief, you've already lost. The mind is the most important tool, the most powerful muscle in the body and all the rest of it. And that's true. But you also need the physicality as well. In fighting, of course, the confidence, the mind, all the rest of it is a huge factor. But if the body... And pardon the expression, is past the sell-by date. If the chin is past the sell-by date, if you've been through many wars, if you've taken too much damage and you've got too much wear and tear to the system, then having all the belief in the world isn't going to help you. You got to have a fucking, it's like a race car driver, you know what I mean? Being in a fast car, and all the drivers in Formula One or whichever race league you want to use, they're all in fucking fast cars, but it's the driver that makes the difference. It's the driver that has that steel nerve or steel will going around those fucking bends at ridiculous speeds, you know what I mean? And they've still got the nerves to you know, and the skill and everything. So you got to have the belief. They're all in powerful engines, but the driver separates it, and that's their fucking mind. The car doesn't have a mind. Wow. What an analogy. Did you like that one?
Analogy King Michael Bisping. I'll say it right now. Give him another title. Let's go.
You're going to say something. And see the finger. I was deep there. I was in the psyche of a Formula One driver, and you threw me off. This better be good.
No. Oh, boy.
But it's true. You know, Tony, the ship has sailed. And as you say, Harrington, don't bother about it. When they raised the hands for Benil Dariush being the winner, and there was a look on Tony Ferguson's face, right? And it was just, he wasn't moving. He was completely stoic. He was expressionless, but he was looking out. And when you looked at his eyes, you could see sadness and you could see realization. And if Tony hears this, which he may do or he may not, right? Yeah, that's okay. From the front one was better, but whatever. You could see that was Tony right then and there when they lifted Benil's hands up, realizing that the ship has sailed, that the dream is probably over, right? That he's lost three in a row because, okay, he lost to Justin Gaethje. The referee saved him in the fourth or fifth round. You can put that down to, Justin got me. I was still on my feet. I could have turned that round. You can not lie to yourself, but you can reasonably find a way to where you can say, well, just put that down to a bad experience, a bad night at the office. I was on a 12-fight win streak. Losses always happen. Then he goes out against Charles Oliveira, and gets dominated, right? And he's like, okay, now that's two. It's a little tougher to do that. It's a little tougher to find a reasoning why you lost, but you can still go on to win. But you can still say, oh, well, Charles Oliveira is really good. You know, he's on a big win streak. He's a champion now. He, you know, maybe I underestimated him. Who knows? Who knows what thought process Tony Ferguson had? Because that's what you have to do as a fighter. You got to still believe in yourself. And whilst you got to be honest, you've also got to be practical and find ways, okay, he beat me, but it was because of this, right? And if I change this or I improve this or I work harder at a certain thing, I can still turn that around. But when it's now three in a row, and by the way, that's 11 rounds in a row now that Tony Ferguson lost. He lost three against Benil, three against Tony, and five against Justin Gaethje, right? That's a big turnaround. That's 11 rounds in a row. That's three fights in a row. And when you looked at Tony Ferguson there, for my money, that was him just actually having a moment. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll tell me to go fuck myself because somebody would do that because they disagree with the narrative that I'm putting forward. But there was a moment there of self-reflection for Tony Ferguson where he was like, shit, it's over. to a certain degree. Now, I'm not saying he can't make money. I'm not saying he can't still have a good career. I'm not saying he won't still have a main event on Fight Nights, because the arena lit up when Tony Ferguson walked in there. He got a huge pop. He's a legend of the game and he needs to be respected. But I firmly believe that the title talk is over.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean,
and it's sad.
Yeah, you saw the moment when they were about to announce him. I remember there was a moment where he just like kind of looked down and he screamed, fuck. He was like, fuck. Like, just like, God damn it, dude. That was it. Yeah. You know?
Because it's hard. It's a tough pill to swallow. That's his life. That's his fucking life. He has put everything before that. He has made so much sacrifice in terms of seeing his friends and family. He dedicated everything to become a champion of the world. And he almost got there and he became the lightweight champion, interim champion. You know, never got that fight with Khabib. Four fights with Khabib scheduled, not to get it. You know, I mean, it's such a shame for the man. You got to feel for him, but at the same time, that's the way it works. That's the fight game.
And you know, hindsight's 20/20. I wonder how much, you know, he's looking at like this whole pandemic and COVID, and how much that's playing like in his head. He's going like, "Fuck, the excuses you start to make for yourself." Not that he's saying that he is making excuses for yourself, but it's like just the sort of the would have, could have, should haves, right? And you look back and go like, "Well, what would have happened if this pandemic didn't hit? What would have happened if Khabib didn't retire? What would have happened if I would have gotten this fight or didn't get that injury? If I didn't trip over that lighting equipment that one time?"
Yeah.
There's all these different things, you know. But look, to be honest with you, Tony Ferguson, you know, the smoke will clear. He's a fucking legend. You know,
the smoke will clear, but time will not go backwards.
Yeah.
Time will not go backwards, and that's what we're seeing with Tony. Because even though he trained with, I want to pick my words carefully because I don't want to be disrespectful and I don't want to criticize his skill set, right? But even though he worked with Freddie Roach, we didn't really see an improvement in the boxing. Tony has kind of an unusual, awkward style. You know, he comes through some weird angles. He moves his head around in like an unusual fashion and stuff. He still fought like that. He still had the same fundamentals that he always has, but. The body is failing him. You know, the chin is failing him, the physicality, the power, the strength. The mind is still there. He still wants to fight. He's still got it in him. I mean, fuck me. Let's talk about this. The fucking heel hook that Beneil Dariush had him in. Beneil Dariush. And I thought about this Saturday night because a lot of people, I'm sorry to keep talking so much, Lewis,
please.
I thought about this Saturday night. A lot of people have
MMA breakdowns. They want to hear you.
We're, listen to this, right? Everybody at home doesn't know what it feels like to be in a heel hook and the damage that it can do. But here's a little thing for you. I'm going to explain it all. Extend your left foot right now, everybody. So you're extending your left foot out straight, right?
Okay.
Now use the power in your leg to rotate your toes to the left as far as they can go, right? Now it feels kind of tight on your knee, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It feels tight. It can't go any further. Can't go any further because if it goes any further, it's going to snap and it's going to pull ligaments in your knee. Now imagine a massive fucking hand or a body or a wave that just goes and just twats your fucking leg over another 90 degrees. That's what a heel hook does. And it just tears all the ligaments. You can feel that tightness in your knee there. And imagine if someone just went yank and just fucking forced it another way. It tears the ligaments to bits. And that's what Tony did. And you could see him on his feet afterwards. He was kind of limping around. And I text Dr. Mora, who's going to come on and break down some of this stuff for us, some of the injuries soon. And I said, it looks like Tony's leg's done. He's like, yeah, that's done. That's sharp. It's gone.
Yeah, it was brutal. His knee was like backwards. And you saw Tony scream out in pain. You know, when it happened, and it was brutal. He didn't tap, you know, God bless him. Good for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But listen, well done to Beneil Dariush. I mean, he got a little excited on the microphone, but he got his own way, called out Elon Musk for his Tesla being late. But lo and behold, Elon Musk, and I knew he'd respond. Elon's like trying to.
Oh, he did respond.
He came out and apologized and said, yeah, we'll have your car soon. And listen, I would assume that the Tesla should show up on the front door pretty fucking sharpish. And Elon should, like, you know, make it the singing, dancing, pimped out maximum Tesla that they do on the market. Imagine that. Imagine he orders one thing, but it shows up pimped out to the max. The richest man in the world should be sending a pimped out Tesla to Beneil Dariush, because that was a pretty good advert for Tesla.
That was. Yeah, no, for sure. It was unique. Got to be honest with you. Don't ever remember even hearing Beneil Dariush speak once. I assumed when he opened his mouth, it was going to be like, hello, I am Beneil Dariush. And then he was fucking, you know, American accent.
He lives in Yorba Linda, which is the next village along from where I am. We don't say village here, but still, the next village along. Funnily enough, Yorba Linda, TJ Dillashaw lives there as well. Hotbed. I was the first one in this area, though. I'm bringing the MMA fighters here, Lewis. yeah, well done, Benil. Yeah, Justine, who did we say? Oh, no, it was just engaging Michael Chandler. But still, Benil Dariush, well done, my friend. Great guy. What a nice guy.
All right, Mike, real quick, let's take a moment and thank BetterHelp for supporting today's show. If you guys are like me or like Mike, or really like most people, you may have needed to get some therapy in your life. Just talking to somebody and working through your problems can be very, very beneficial. BetterHelp makes it that much easier because they can connect you with licensed professional therapists all over the world. It makes it very convenient because you do it on a video conference or on the phone, so you don't have to spend your time in traffic. You don't have to go meet somebody. That whole process can be a little bit intimidating, right? You don't know who this person is. You're sitting in front of them. You're doing this from the comfort of your own home. You're doing it from your living room, from your computer. And if it works for you, great. If that specific therapist doesn't work for you, they make it super easy to match you with another one.
Yeah, that's one of the things, you know, it kind of takes the awkwardness out of taking that first step. You know what I mean? Because it is daunting. If you feel that you have some issues, which deep down, everyone has issues. Everyone has something they need to talk about. And if you talk about it with a professional, they'll give you correct advice on how to deal with those inner emotions. You know, everyone is going through something right now. And if you connect with BetterHelp, it's important to point out it's not a crisis line. It is not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy and free to switch counselors if you need. And as I said, you haven't got to go through the anxiety of thinking, oh, let's find a place online, make an appointment, drive there, walk in, and you're like, you're a little apprehensive because you're new to this and all the rest of it. Then you walk in, you got to sit with some guy and you're in his office. It's an alien environment. And then you got to talk about yourself. That in itself takes a lot of confidence. It's hard to take that first step.
As you're saying it, it makes me not, it gives me anxiety. I'm going like, I don't want to do that at all.
No.
But BetterHelp, it makes it, dude, it really truly is the best way to do it. I'll tell you right now, and with the whole quarantine and with COVID, this is the way everybody's doing therapy now anyway. This is the way everyone shifted. BetterHelp was just ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and you can send the message to your counselor at any time if you're going through some struggles, and you will get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule a weekly video or phone session, so it's the perfect way to do therapy during the pandemic, and you won't have to go back to sitting in an uncomfortable waiting room ever again. And let me tell you, they are fantastic. Their counselors are fantastic. So if that sounds like something you want to take advantage of, and let me tell you, as we know, if you listen to the podcast, I started doing it recently, started talking about some of my issues with some professionals, having some anger management and things, and it really helps. I mean, look at me now, Lewis. Look at me. I'm a changed man. But all jokes aside, go to betterhelp.com/believe to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge over their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. So go to betterhelp.com/believe, betterhelp.com/believe, and you get 10% off the first month. One more time, betterhelp.com/believe, 10% off your first order, and become a better version of yourself. Sounds like no self-help what you ever read. Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up. Where were we? We're running out of time, but we got to get into this. Shane Burgos versus Edson Barboza. I mean, what a great fight from start to finish. Edson was kind of one step ahead the whole time. You know what I mean? Mm. But Burgos definitely was in there. He was, you know, it was 45-55, if you will, in terms of control of the fight. But Burgos looked sensational like he always does. Barboza, known as the kicker, but the hands were on fire as well. And both men just put on such a tremendous display. It was a lot of fun to watch. But before we get into the finish, give me your thoughts, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, super exciting fight. We said it before, you know, the fight actually happened, that on paper it was set for fireworks, and it was. Yeah, I mean, Barboza, he was the underdog in the fight, right? Like a slight underdog?
I think so.
Yeah, very, very slight. Yeah, I mean, I was. It was great. It was opening fight of the card, correct?
Yeah.
Super exciting. Great way to open up the card. But what a weird fucking finish. The finish is really what is bizarre. Have we ever seen, we have it right here on video, have we ever seen a finish like this ever?
I haven't seen a finish like this. And I've done a bit of research into what happened. And here's what Dr. Bisping has to say on it. And in fact, not me, some other doctors told me. In fact, I spoke to Dr. Moore and I looked at some stuff, but you see it there. So he takes the shot. It's a beautiful right hand on the chin, right? And you see Dana jump up there looking very concerned. But Burgos takes the right hand on the chin, right? And then he still continues moving his head like he's still in the fight and everything's fine. And then all of a sudden something changes and he freezes and his legs kind of give way on him and he's trying to fight it and he just backs up like that. And as we saw, falls to the octagon and then he actually goes to sleep. And what happens is when you take a punch, a good hard punch, boom, the head shakes. What does that do? Well, that causes the brain to rattle around inside. And of course, the brain is shielded by some kind of fluid, right, that stops it banging into the skull. But when it's hard enough, the impact, you know, it wobbles and shakes around a lot and it still bangs a bit. And then when it bangs against the skull a little, then it shoots off all kinds of electrical impulses. And basically, I think as a defense mechanism, you lose consciousness, right? So that's what happened. He gets hurt, but then his fucking will is so strong. He's fighting against the electrical impulses and the brain saying, hold on, malfunction, disassemble. No, Johnny Five. No, I am not alive, okay? But he's like, no, fuck that. We am. We're staying. Oh, shit. And then he dies. And then, wow. Well, he didn't die. And then he goes unconscious. Well, not unconscious, but he goes down.
I mean, when he gets hit, it's a 1-2, right? And you watch his eyes focus on him. He's here.
Yeah.
He's ready. He looks more ready than he did at the beginning of the fight. He's like, let's go. Let's go. And then he just like, you watch him just fall apart. And already out. By the time he's falling down, he's completely knocked out already. So he didn't even need the follow-up shots. The referee also just very confused, didn't really know what was going on there in that moment.
But I was
absolutely
confused.
Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. You know, maybe Dr. Mara could explain it.
We got to get him on. Next week, we'll get him on because Thursday, we've got Michael Benham Page. We've also got the author, co-author of Quitters Never Winning, a guy that's fronting up Invicta fights right now as well. Anthony Evans, he'll be joining us. But Dr. Mara, we'll get him on next week. He can talk about that. But that was, really unusual. As I say, you can see Dana. I mean, Dana's promoted God knows how many fights. But I don't think we've ever seen that. And even Dana, I don't think had seen it because he was like, holy shit. He jumped straight to his feet because it was so unusual. And then, of course, then he insisted on Shane going to see the doctor afterwards, going to the hospital and getting a brain scan. Because when you look at something like that, obviously that's the brain, you know, and the UFC, you know, they leave no stone unturned. They always insist you go to the doctors. They did it to me many, many times, much to my frustration. Unfortunately, Shane went and he's fine.
Yeah, after the Anderson Silva fight, they really wanted you to go to the doctor, and you absolutely refuse, as I just found out in Quitters Never Win, which I'm almost done with officially now.
They did it after every fucking fight, and I'm like, I have one eye, okay? I can't go to the doctor. An auditor from Paradigm Sports Management, I love the audit, but Audie's like playing on the side of safety as well, and he's like, yeah, Mike, you should really go to the doctors. I'm like, shut the fuck up. The last place I want to go is to a doctor because they're going to look and they're going to say he has one eye. But I remember after the Dan Henderson fight, I've told this, looking like shit. I said, I'm fine, Dan. He's like, you don't look like it. Anyway, Shane Burgos, unlucky. Edson Barboza. I mean, come on. This guy. 145. He lost to Danny Ige, but he looks like championship material at 145. I've got to be honest. I wouldn't mind seeing him versus Alexander Volkanovski. Of course, he's doing the Ultimate Fighter against Brian Ortega. But yeah, Edson Barboza, incredible. And Shane Burgos. Come on, man. You got to love the way Shane Burgos fights.
Yeah, dude. He fought against his brain being shut off. Pure will and determination.
Yeah, it really was. Really was. Incredible stuff. What else are we going to get into? Okay. This was funny. Obviously, Triller, right?
Oh, yeah.
Triller, Jake Paul, I don't know who else, Nate Robinson, all that goddamn stuff. They're trying to do business with Dana White. So Dana White, the post-fight press conference, had something to say about that. And there's no point in me saying it because Dana says it in such a great way. Let's roll the tape.
The head of Triller says that you blocked GSP from boxing Oscar De La Hoya and that you made a move for Jake Paul.
Oh my God, don't even ask me about these idiots. Who gives a shit? Does anybody give a shit?
I guess they do.
You do? No, I don't give a shit what they think. You think I care what Triller thinks?
No. Are you sick and tired of them mentioning
it? I don't even take their calls. This idiot calls me every day. Text me every day. Please answer my call. Please talk to me. Why won't you talk to me? Because I don't give a fuck about you. Do your thing. Leave me alone. Go fucking do whatever it is you're doing. Knock yourself out. I could care less. Yeah. I have no interest in talking to any of those idiots. They can do their thing. Do your thing. Stop talking about me. What do you give a shit what I'm doing? Go do your thing.
At some point, is it getting annoying that they only seem to ever talk about UFC fighters and UFC talent?
Oh, I get it. But yeah, get out of here. What are you doing? I don't even know what you're doing. What is this thing you're trying to build? What are you doing? You know, and why are you talking? What do I have to do with it? What do I have to do with it? Or my guys, do your thing. What are you doing? Are you starting an MMA organization? Or you know, and then you got Oscar, this fucking idiot again in the car that night. Come with us and make more money than you've ever made in your life. We heard that before. Chuck Liddell's here tonight. Grab him. Ask him if he made more money than he ever made in his whole life when he went with Oscar De La Hoya. You know what I mean? But you guys keep asking me about these idiots. You guys know they're a fucking joke, but you keep asking me about them when you know they're a joke. You know this is bullshit.
All right,
you know,
Brian,
they're
thanks,
all
mate.
Full of shit.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. You get the message. I'm going to read between the lines, and it sounds like they want to get a hold of Dana because they want to cross-promote an event, and they want to take some UFC guys and have them on Triller and all the rest of it. And Dana's not taking the calls because that's the right thing to do, because who wins out of that? Who gains out of that? Fucking Triller. You know, why would the UFC, the greatest fight promotion on the planet, right? And that's a fucking fact, let me tell you. Why would they be doing business with Triller? They've had two events. The last one was a shit show. They're suing individuals. They're losing money left over, right? And they're not even putting on proper fights. Why would the UFC go into a co-promotion with them? I'm not hating on Triller. Good for you. I'm all for entrepreneurship. I'm all for people trying to make money, trying to find an angle. That's all well and good. But I don't blame Dana White for having that attitude.
Yeah, and Dana White rightfully has that attitude, because this is what Triller's doing, and they're taking a page out of Jake Paul's book, or maybe Jake Paul's taking a page out of their book, but they understand, be annoying, get people to talk about you, get the media to talk about you, create those moments. There's something smart about what Triller does, right? It's almost like it's like a meme of a combat sports event. There's like Bieber's there, and then they got the girls from TikTok, and they have music, and it's all just sort of bizarre. They don't seem to have much direction. And if you're a serious fight fan, you just sort of see that it's much more circus than it is substance, right? And I think the UFC has spent years, I mean, two decades, I guess three, going on three decades now, trying to move away from this circus
legitimizing
atmosphere.
Yes. The sport, legitimizing the sports, getting it seen on TV, getting it on Fox Sports, getting it on ESPN, breaking down barriers all over the world. You know what I mean? They fought very, very hard. Yes, they've been incredibly, wildly successful, but so have a lot of fighters, and they deserve all the success. I mean, the UFC, they're very protective of their brand, and rightly so, because of all the hard work. As you said, almost three goddamn decades now. And think about all the money that they've had to spend. Yes, they make a lot of money, and rightly so, but they've always done this. Remember M1 with Fedor Emelianenko? They were trying to do a cross-promotion between Fedor Emelianenko and Randy Couture, whoever the UFC representative was going to be. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to do a co-promotion, if I'm not mistaken, or if what I'm led to believe in the press is accurate. Obviously, I weren't in those meetings, but that's what was reported at the time. And Dana was like, no, we're not going to fucking do a cross-promotion again. We're not going to hype up M1. I think Pride tried to do the same thing. They said, no, we're not going to do that at all. So I mean, I understand Triller trying to do it. That's what I'd be trying to do. If I had a fight promotion right now, I would love to do a piggyback, a fucking cross promotion with the UFC. Of course I would love to do that. But yeah, if you're the UFC, you're not going to do that. But hey, God loves a trier. I know we're running out of time, Lewis. We got to get into this. We have to get into this. Have you seen the video in the notes from Sage Northcutt?
I have not. Before, while they pull that up, real quick, you love the show, go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. Go to our YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification button, get a notification every time we go live. 2 episodes a week, really. Every single week, 2 episodes a week. And then also, if you guys want the entire on-demand library, get it at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial for the on-demand service. Also, guys, remember, there are tickets available for an evening with Michael Bisping coming to...
Tales from the Octagon.
I'm sorry. Tales from the Octagon - an evening with Michael Bisping featuring Luis J. Gomez. All over the place, guys. Birmingham, London, Manchester, Glasgow, and Dublin. mytickets.co.uk.
Stop it. Mytickets.co.uk. Go there, search the name Michael Bisping. Both is going to come up, tales from the Octagon. Listen, ticket sales are going very, very fast, but there is some available, so be there. Don't be disappointed. Thank you very much to everybody that bought one. Appreciate you more than you'll ever know. Okay, so well done to Harrington for finding this because I didn't see this. I'm a very busy man. I don't have time to be scouring Reddit. But he came across this, and it's Sage Northcutt. As we know, Sage was in the UFC. Now he fights for one championship out in Asia somewhere. And here he is doing... Don't press play. Doing an interview with a journalist, obviously. And allegedly, according to everybody, they say you can take steroids in one FC. Now... I'm not saying that he said that, but it does sound like he was going to say you could take something beginning with an ST, right? Now, you be the judge of this, Lewis. You haven't seen it, and people at home, take a listen. Here's Sage Northcutt speaking to a journalist.
What made your mind up? Why did you see that?
You know, the fighters are treated with respect. They're about their character, about the true martial arts. You get to not only get to do mixed martial arts, but you get to do the kickboxing.
That's it. Just back it up. You're gonna be. You can take... And he stops.
They're about their character, about the true martial arts. You get to not only get to do mixed martial arts, but you get to do the kickboxing, the Muay Thai.
All right.
He wasn't really going to say you could take steroids.
I don't know. He says it's about true martial arts. You could take steroids. What else could that possibly be? We're having a debate. I am not judge, jury, and executioner here. But what else could it be? You could take stables. You could take stereos. You could take stirs. You could take the stirs. What else could he be saying that starts with an ST? I would like to hear.
You could take...
And he stops. And something that he was going to say that could be deemed controversial. So he had to fucking piggyback out of that one. Press the pause and the eject ASAP. That's what he did. Anyway, you could take... And then what was the next line? Just play it again.
But you do the kickboxing. They're about their character, about the true martial arts. You get to not only get to do mixed martial arts, but you get to do the kickboxing, the Muay Thai. About their character, about the true martial arts. You get to not only get to do mixed martial arts.
Steam baths.
I don't know. What?
Maybe I love a good steam.
You can take steam baths, but why would he bail on that sentence halfway through?
Who knows what's going on in that steam room?
I mean, that is the... Well, we know what goes on in your steam room. That is the general belief. That's the general belief. I don't know about one championship, but that was the belief about Pride, that, you know, steroids were not frowned upon, you know? And from some people I've spoken to, they were even encouraged. They don't have athletic commissions, I don't believe, like they have in America. The UK doesn't have athletic commissions, you know, people that are independently drug testing you and trying to find cheaters, you know. So maybe he was going to say that, but he got a little fucking carried away with himself.
Maybe. And you know what? Fuck it. Good for him. I hope he does.
Really?
He's such a nice kid.
Oh, he's no, like, he's a sweetheart.
Gee golly, you can take steroids. It's so nice. Thank you, mister.
Yeah, I don't know about that though. But still, it's just funny. Poor guy. We're highlighting it. You know what I mean? That he almost said you can take steroids. Oh dear, Harry. Is there anything else that we should get into before we allow this episode to finish?
No, I think it's about time for us to wrap it up here.
Oh, is it really? You're calling the shots now, are you?
I don't know. I got nothing, man.
Chuck Liddell has joined the fray of celebrity boxing. He will simply referee a bout between former NBA player Lamar Odom and former pop star Aaron Carter. All right, we won't talk about that. Number five, by the way, this is Harrington's notes. He says we've got nothing else to talk. Marvin Vettori says that Adesanya quit against Jan Blachowicz and that his jiu-jitsu is a joke. With Jan the last time. Yeah, so it's okay, Harrington. You put the notes in there for us and you don't want us to talk about them.
No, I mean, I just want to save something for hammer fisting on Thursday. But if you really want to get into it, I'd love to read the quote.
No, I'm kidding, buddy. I'm kidding. All right. Well, listen, that is the end of the show. Darren Till, as always, you're the man. Lewis, what's going on this evening?
This is it. I got to go down to the stand. Got to go do some Legion of Skanks. Shout out to everyone that's going to come out for that live show. And yeah, we're looking forward. Vegas. Harrington will be in Vegas. Brian's going to be in Vegas. Bisping's going to be in Vegas. We're going to be lighting the town on fire June 4th and 5th weekend.
Well, we're going to be doing a lot of bonus content, okay? Just be prepared. Brian and Harrington, make sure you both have a mouthpiece. I don't want any excuses. Lewis, bring your mouthpiece. We'll make sure someone's on hand to film the festivities. Until Thursday, though, we will be back with another show then. Look after yourselves. Take care.